everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. We are off and running on the Buckmaster Show, Wednesday, January 8th, 2025, the 14th anniversary of the Tucson tragedy and the Gabby Giffords assassination attempt. Wow, what a news day this is. The picture's out of L.A., a guy I used to work with. He's one of the best videographers in California. I put up the video, some of his video, driving along the Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu. Just total devastation. One of the most expensive and beautiful real estate in the world, for that matter, just is in ashes. It's just a horrific scene in L.A. No fire support because you're getting wind gusts up to 70 to 80 miles an hour. Here in Tucson, hazardous air quality. Tom Fairbanks, no wonder my eyes are burning. Had a report of the particulate matter at 461.
Any idea where it's coming from?
The wind and basically wind and
just,
dust.
Just local dust.
Just it's local
not,
dust. We haven't had any. We haven't had any rain here in a couple of months. So that 461 particulates average here would be good air quality, be below 50. So it's crazy. If you don't have to be outdoors, don't do it. We're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio at the Bustos Media Center in central Tucson, where we have five radio stations under one roof. This one is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. Last week, we began year 15 of the radio program and the start of my 37th year in Tucson radio and TV. We have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our telephone interviews are presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line and begin our interviews today with the former longtime Ward 6 Tucson councilman serving 14 years over there in Ward 6. He's Steve Kasachek, who is the interim director of the Pima Animal Care Center. Councilman, former councilman, and now director. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing really well, but I thought I got all 461 of those particles when I was out running this morning. It was blowing like crazy.
It's nasty, isn't it, out there, Steve?
Yeah. It was blowing, and it's cold, and I was on a Zoom call with somebody who's in Ontario, Canada, a little while ago. So I think that we can be appreciative of the fact that we only get this a little bit during the year, and they're under it all the time.
It'd be the kind of day that you would not want to fly into Tucson if you'd been saving up your money for a winter vacation and say, is this what it's like here?
No, this is not a Chamber of Commerce day.
No, this is one of those days that we just want to get through. Before we talk about one of my favorite subjects, as you know, animal welfare and advocacy. A few quick thoughts, if you would, on the Giffords anniversary day.
Yeah, I'm glad you opened with that. There was a ceremony, very small and somber ceremony down at the memorial this morning at 10 a.m., gathering some of the survivors and some of the family members. It's something that we simply cannot forget. I mean, we have, sadly, these incidents pop up way too often in the media. And there are still many of us who are trying to get some legislation passed that would do things such as mandatory background checks on all gun sales, things that some of us believe are pretty common sense that. But the families are still living with this. And it's not just the families of the people who were killed. People who are shot and injured during some of these mass shootings, they live with the after effects for the rest of their lives in many cases, whether it be a debilitating injury that they've suffered or simply the mental scars. So I say simply, it's not simple. And so I'm glad that you opened with that. This is a annual memorial that we have done now for since what is it, 13 years, 12 years, whatever the numbers are.
And, 14 now, 14 years.
Yeah. Right? It's crazy, isn't it?
It is.
And, you know, I see Gabby and Mark Kelly every now and then. She's doing well as can be expected. She's out and about. She, I believe, was at the event mm-hmm. this morning. And speaking of, if it wasn't a fatal wound, there are injuries that people live with for the rest of their lives. And so really, really somber moment for this community. But we're not alone, sadly. There are communities all over this country who are sharing these somber moments throughout the year. And one of these days, we'll get some motion on some of the gun laws that many of us are advocating for. Not only that, mental health services, behavioral health services, and after-the-fact services for the people who are suffering in the aftermath of these events.
This is the first time, actually, we have had you on the air since you left the council, and you've had a couple of very interesting assignments with Pima County, the latest being over at Pima Animal Care, an organization we care very much about, and that, in fact, I run a 30-second public service announcement every day about PAC and the work that the people do that support PAC. There's no room at the inn there right now, correct, Steve?
Yeah, and I appreciate the PSA that you run. It seems it goes from, you know, from one thing to another. We, of course, made it through the pre-Christmas influx of animals out here, where people just before Christmas were bringing animals in to because they felt they would have a full house of people and didn't have room for the pet. For me, they're family members too, though, and so we went through that, and then New Year's came, and over the course of December 31st, January 1st and 2nd, we took in roughly 150 dogs that were spooked by the fireworks. Despite all the efforts that we make every year, and not just us, but media sources throughout the country who say, bring your animals in during the fireworks. You know, Bill, we've all had the experience where we're sitting in the house, and if we have a dog, they hear something outside that we didn't hear. You know, their ears go up, and they go to the front door, and, you know, minutes later, somebody's on the door. Mm-hmm. They have significantly more sensitive hearing than we do. So if you translate that into fireworks that sometimes even jar us when they go off, surprising us, the animals they're confused, they're scared, if they're out in the back and they see the flashes up in the air, they don't know what it is, where it's coming from, and we get strays every year, and so we in the last several days have had a relatively successful rehoming and readoption events out here at PAC, but we still have far too many. You said no room at the inn. The shelter was built for roughly 450 dogs. We this morning were at about 487. 3 days ago we were about 530. So it fluctuates based on the situation. And the situation most recently was fireworks. Now we have the situation where we're going to have sub-freezing temperatures.
Yes.
And, you know, we know the four P's, you know, the people, the pipes, the plants, but don't forget the pets. Tonight is going to be excruciatingly cold. And with the wind chill, it's going to be just terrible for animals, and it could be fatal for some of them. So bring them in, make sure that they're in warm, they're a member of your family, and please treat them like that.
What is your assessment of the facility since you've been there? I think you took over a little 3 weeks ago or something like that.
It's been over a month,
okay.
I was shadowing out here for about 6 weeks prior to that, knowing that the prior director was going to retire. And so I was out here meeting the staff. One thing I was not going to allow to happen is for me to show up on the 1st of December and say, hello, who are all of you people and what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
So I've been spending time with the managerial staff and with the line staff, with the volunteers, some of the fosters. And so a couple of answers to the question. We have some really amazing professional staff out here. We have people In our clinic, our veterinary clinic, we have people working adoptions. We have people working trying to rehome animals. When you bring an animal in that you found as a stray, or you feel as though you simply can't keep it any longer, we have counseling out here to help let's identify the issue. We have a safety net program that assistance with rent or with where they just don't have enough money to buy the food, if it's medical assistance. So we offer all those services because, Bill, the last place that we want the animals to be is here at the shelter.
Yeah.
You know, they're in a kennel, and they're in a kennel with sometimes with another animal. And, you know, it's traumatizing to them. They're when people come out to view them, to try and adopt them. And so we want to get them out as quickly as possible. Mentioned some of the areas that we have out here with staff. Another one, though, is really important for people to realize is that you don't have to come out and adopt an animal. You can foster the animal, and you can take it out for day trips, or you can take it for a week or a month, and then you can try and adopt it out of your home as well. We have a partner called Tucson Rescue Now, who is over at Grant and Swan, and they pull eight or ten dogs from us every day and get them out into a different setting. And so if you go over there to their shelter, they're open Thursday through Sunday from 11 to 4. It's an opportunity for you to see the dogs in a setting that'll be more similar to your home so that they're not stressed out by the kennel environment. So a lot of good things happening out here. Another one of the areas is the Animal Protection Services. We have 18 officers who are out patrolling 9,200 square miles. It's a really difficult assignment. And one of the initiatives I'm working on right now is to try and increase our staffing because we get calls all the time. You know, there's a stray dog in the park. Mm-hmm. We simply don't have the staff to go and chase that down because of all the other calls they're running.
All right, let's pause right here. We'll have more with Steve Kasachek, former Tucson City Councilman, who is now settling in as the interim director at Pima Animal Care Center. Buckmaster on a midday edition Wednesday. We will be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. A friend just posting a picture on my Facebook page, her view from downtown LA right now. She says she's never seen anything like it. It's just unbelievable. Just this, the picture from downtown LA showing, it's like a movie set or something, just this huge orange all over the horizon. Covering the atmosphere there. Looks like the apocalypse or something going on right now over in Southern California. All right, let's continue with
Bill, yes. We've got blustery weather here, but it was 90 miles an hour over there spreading that fire around.
Yeah, they had a wind gust, Steve Kasachek, at 101 miles per hour over in the Malibu area. And a lot of folks are trying to politicize this, and they're blaming this person and that person. Well, folks, Mother Nature is not allowing the air support. It's available. It is. They can't go up in this kind of weather. You're still getting wind gusts, Steve Kasachek, of 70 miles an hour. So
yeah, and so remember back. I messed up the January 8th date, but when we lost the firefighters up in the Prescott Valley.
Yes,
because the winds shifted and they had no way of escaping. You put yourself in the shoes of the firefighters over there right now. I was watching a report last night where they said the winds would shift and they would go in all different directions within a matter of 5 minutes. Poor men and women out there trying to fight this thing have no idea what direction it's coming from, and their lives are at risk. So there's no sense politicizing something like this. This is just a tragedy.
This is a major tragedy. You think of some of those homes along the Pacific Coast Highway, some of the homes 50, 75 years old at least, right on the beach, that's the prime property. No fire has touched those homes in a long time. This is really something awful. Steve, we're talking about, Steve Kasachek is with us, former Tucson City Councilman, now the interim director of Pima Animal Care Center. Would you say in your entire career this is one of the most gratifying positions that you have been involved with, Steve?
Yeah, without doubt, without hesitation. The fact that we're dealing with people and animals who are sometimes in trauma when they come in here, the people from the standpoint of having found a dog that was hit by a car or having a family member that they have to bring in for whatever reasons, the animals themselves that are way stressed out once they get here, and then being able to rehome them. You know, one of the things that I've started doing since I began here was writing a weekly, just kind of a good news. Here's some things that happened in the past week that do not involve euthanizing and do not involve getting dogs jumping fences during the fireworks, but rehoming opportunities and fostering opportunities and donors and donations and our partnership with Friends of PAC, which is a 501c that funds so many of our important veterinary positions out here. There are a lot of good stories to tell out here, and that's one of the things I'm committed to doing as long as they've got me out here. Whether that's 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years, we have a good story to tell, and I'm going to be telling it. And I appreciate you doing the PSA and helping to spread the word that this is a place that needs people to come out and volunteer and foster and adopt and really be supportive. And we've got all of the above. Happening right now.
How can we see these weekly items that you're posting?
I will send you the link.
Please do.
Something that people can see on the Pima County website.
Okay, terrific. Let's talk about a very important event to get some of these wonderful animals, long-time, forever companion animals, we hope, get them into some great homes this Saturday, January 11th. Things begin at 11 o'clock. Tell us about what's going on.
So this will be in Armory Park, and it's going to be an opportunity for people to come out. Hopefully, the weather is supposed to turn between now and then, so it'll be better. Mm-hmm. And people can come out from and view animals, and it's not just pack animals. There will be several rescues also participating in the event. It's an adoption event, but there will also be free resources for people to come out and just participate. And, you know, it's community building. It's familiarizing people with the rescues that are supporting PAC and our own animals as well. Now, this was maybe 10 years ago. I was on the council, and we drafted a puppy mill ordinance, and it was to make it illegal for retail sales of dogs that were not sourced from either a shelter or a rescue. And it passed the council. The state legislature passed some preemptive legislation on it. The reality is that if you're looking for a new family member, four-legged type, then source it through a shelter, source it through us, the Humane Society, any of the rescues in town, because these are animals that that need homes, and more often than not have been in homes that just need to be rehomed, because they do not thrive in any shelter environment.
Tucson may have more animal welfare advocates than any other city in the United States. We have so many great organizations, the Hermitage specializing in cats, and on and on it goes. This is a caring community when it comes to our four-legged friend, Steve Kasachek.
No, absolutely. And since I began out here, I've met with several of them, several of the rescue advocates, and we want to partner with them. This is not a situation where people should be going on social media and posting a bunch of negative about any of the rescues or any of the shelters. We're all in this together, and we all know we at the shelters, we at the Humane Society, we at the rescues, all know that there are far too many animals in shelters right now where they do not thrive. We offer, you mentioned the event this weekend, we also host periodic spay-neuter events. We're hosting a series of events, about two per month throughout the year, in some of the zip codes where we know that we have far too many dogs at large, and it's to make introductions to get animals licensed, spayed, neutered. I mentioned Friends of PAC. They are opening up a low-cost clinic on First Avenue, near the end of the first quarter of this calendar year, where people can go and get low-cost veterinary care. So you're correct. I mean, there are multiple partners scattered throughout this community. And I want to give high praise to the Friends of PAC, who has our 501c for the like-minded approach that they take to treat, making sure that veterinary assistance is available throughout the community. It's like human healthcare, Bill. It's expensive, and people are oftentimes challenged to get their own healthcare, much less their animals. And so kudos to Friends of PAC for opening this clinic over on First here in the next couple of months.
What can we do to, I know the neutering and the spaying is very important, but what can we do to kind of cut down on the stray animal population, Steve Kasachek?
Microchipping your animal is key. We offer free microchipping off out here right now at PAC, making sure that your dogs have collars on them with their identification. It's far too frequent that we get animals in here that have not been microchipped or are running around without a collar, and so there's no way to track down the owner. Every single day, we get people turning in strays out here who have been microchipped, and we're able to get on the phone, get the owner, and they come out here and pick them up, and they never have to spend a day in a shelter. So that's something that's really, really simple that people can do, and there's no cost involved in it. You know, it takes 5 minutes, literally, to get to bring your animal out here, get them chipped, and get it registered, and get it licensed, and you know, that way, if the dog does spook and jump the fence during fireworks or for whatever reason, you can find them out here. There's also an opportunity that people can go online if they've lost their animal through a service called Petco Loves Lost. And you can go online and people post pictures of animals they've picked up as strays. And so if you've lost your animal, you can go online and scroll through the animals that are posted there. And hopefully you find it, and hopefully someone's picked it up, and you can go right straight to that person's home, and it doesn't even, never gets close to a shelter. So these are opportunities that people have to keep their animals in their home. These are family members, and you know, for free you can do some things that, you know, proactively to make sure that if the animal ever does get lost, you can find it, and they never have to come out here.
All right.
We don't want them out here. You know, we just don't want them out here. Home is where they belong.
It is. Home is where they belong. Where can we find you and the team? Where are you located and your hours, please, before we go?
Okay, we're at 4000 West Silver Bell Road and North Silver Bell Road. I said west. 4000 North Silver Bell Road. And we're open from 11 o'clock until 7 o'clock every weekday and from 10 to 5 every weekend.
Thank you very much, Steve Kasachek. Thank you for the work you're doing for our animal friends. I appreciate it very much. So do a lot of other people. And I'm very happy mm-hmm. you're settling in out there. I know this is really a passion for you.
It's great work. And before we go, congratulations on the new anniversary. You said 15 years?
Yeah, we're now into year 15. 14 full years last week. So into year 15.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Still That's amazing.
Strong. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for your work.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll take a break right here. Dr. Trujillo is in the house. He's next on Buckmaster Midweek Edition.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and the green thing is Zocalo Village Studio, our live line for our telephone interviews, like the one we just concluded with Steve Kasachek, is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. These pictures continue to come in from Los Angeles. They're just pretty much unbelievable. We're all used to the wildfires that they have over in the L.A. Basin. This one feels different, and from what everybody's saying, they've never seen really anything like what they're seeing in the L.A. Basin. Some of those scenes from downtown Los Angeles just look like the apocalypse or something. Again, we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things now having fountains. This is a new item over at Zocalo Village, part of the Green Things complex, the 13 acres at 3384 East River Road. Check it out, featuring Zocalo Fountains. Green Things, family-owned and operated since 1970. Green Things, AZ.com, and their sister business is ZocaloVillage.com. Let's welcome now back to the program, after his holiday break as school resumes in the second largest school district in the state of Arizona, Tucson Unified School District. The superintendent of the district is Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, and he's with me in studio. Well, Happy New Year. I think I can still say Happy New Year.
We can still say Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, and you had a wonderful holiday season. You're visiting with us in between visits to some of the district schools. And in the portfolio, let's see if I get this right, about 70 properties in the portfolio?
We're actually 88 schools.
88 schools.
We've been 88 schools.
And you try to visit all of them.
I try to visit all of them. Had some great visits this morning at Mansfield Middle School and in Borton Elementary there on 22nd. And it's ambitious. Most years I'm able to see anywhere between 65 and sometimes all 88, just depending on what the schedule holds for me.
What are the concerns? What are the teachers saying, Dr. Trujillo, we need more of this, that, or whatever?
I think salary remains probably the biggest issue. Our teachers deserve to be the best compensated in the state. Actually, all teachers in the state need to be compensated better. So I think that is really on the minds of a lot of our teachers. With our classified staff, it's the rising costs in the city, whether it's gas or groceries or inflation, and the pressure on the district to provide better wages, I think, is on their minds as well. So we've got a lot of work to do as a school district to make sure that we're offering the best possible compensation for our employees.
One of the major items that state lawmakers will be addressing when they begin their session actually for 2025, and some say it's the most pressing threat that education advocates are eyeing this year, and it's whether public schools, Dr. Trujillo, will continue receiving this annual distribution of about $300 million from Prop 123, which voters approved in 2016.
Yeah, Prop 123 is very, very important for TUSD. Our cut of the $300 million is about $4 million, and we do a lot with that $4 million. They're flexible funds. You can use them for capital, which is buildings, buses, buildings, facilities. You can also use them for staff salaries. And so every dollar counts, and not having that $4 million would present some serious challenges for our district. We're already in a tough situation with enrollment. That would just make it tougher.
The enrollment numbers, I know you evaluate this almost on a daily basis. What are you seeing? Are you concerned in some areas?
We are. Enrollment continues to be probably the biggest challenge that the district faces. Our 40th day, which is really the bellwether for the year, which tells us how many students we've been able to maintain as full-time enrolled students across the first 40 days of school. So we were down about 470 students year over year. On that 40-day period, and that's just another $2.2 million that we're going to have to fill that void. And what I try to tell people in the community, and I try to tell our employees, is this is no longer a situation where we can just market and promote our way into better enrollment. We have to look at the changing landscape of K-12 education, largely brought on by vouchers that have exploded and are an intentional way of essentially paying parents to walk away from the school districts.
And Dr. Horn is trying to enhance the voucher program and actually has.
Yeah.
Let me see if I get this right. And by the way, he will be our guest a week from Friday on our Friday Focus interview. And of course, I'll ask him about this, but it's basically $2,000, no questions asked.
No questions asked. And of course, you offer anybody in the public $2,000, no questions asked. Of course, they're going to walk away from their local neighborhood school and go look at something else. And you add to that that these dollars are not regulated. There's no oversight.
No. Nope.
We heard about the couple from Utah taking advantage and, and racking up over $100,000 in voucher dollars because of this lack of oversight. So that has really changed the landscape for us in terms of what we have to do. I think the challenge with the board in the next 4 years, and we've got our reelected board members are going to have to take this on, is what are the structural changes that we have to make to be more competitive? We've got a lot of schools in a lot of neighborhoods that have really aged out of the K-12 population and don't have K-12 kids anymore. But then we also have a lot of areas in the district where we have a lot of population growth, like over in the Southwest, over by the Pasquayaki Reservation. So we're going to have some really long-term...
You're going to have to really reevaluate the portfolio.
We will have to reevaluate the physical configuration of the district and our portfolio of schools.
That's a major challenge that's facing.
It is. Yeah.
And that really could be the overriding issue for this newly elected board.
I think it is going to be. Yeah, I think as they grapple with where are we going to be in the next 5 years and where has ESSA forced us to be, I think is the other question.
Well, the immediate question is every parent, when they send their loved one off, put them on the bus or drop them off at school, they want to make sure that that child has a safe environment. And I know that that's been really, for this school year, that's been your primary focus.
Yeah, I mean, thanks to the bond effort and the victory that we saw at the ballot box a year ago, our board was able to take some bold steps with those bond dollars. And we've taken two really significant steps to strengthen safety and security for students. First is the approval of the Centegix badge-based emergency/crisis notification system. So if you're a parent or just a member of the general public, I'll just break it down for you in a real easy way to understand. So with this platform, every single teacher will basically have an ID badge that functions like a fob, like you would use in an elevator.
It's a smart badge.
Like a smart badge, like you would use to get into a hotel room or you would use to get on an elevator. And all they have to do in the event of an emergency, an intruder trying to get in the classroom or a student in the classroom pulling out a weapon, is just touch the back of the card.
You're kidding. And
wireless signal will transmit across the school and alert the administration and alert school safety and pinpoint using GPS technology the exact location of the crisis.
Wow.
So we will be able to dramatically increase the speed at which we respond to crisis situations. We don't have to deal with dead cell phone zones, dead radio spots, teachers struggling to dial on an old phone up to the office in the event of an emergency. So we're very, very excited about this. We've actually started installation, and we'll have this product fully available for every teacher.
This is a product that a company specializes in that's the best in the business.
It is the best in the business. This was a product that was actually used recently in Georgia when we had that school shooting at the beginning of the school year and really mitigated the amount of casualties, just because of the speed in which law enforcement was able to get over to the school. So this is a product that will be in every single school operational by the opening of school in August.
Mm-hmm. And so there is that transition period where every employee, every teacher has to have this badge. It has to be implemented and brought up to speed, if you will, right?
Yeah, we have to have training, professional development.
Yeah.
And right now, the company is working on the installation of the wireless domes that will be on all of our campuses that will receive the signal. you know, once a teacher touches the badge.
And this would not have been, this is not cheap. This is a very costly security enhancement that everybody deserves, but it wouldn't have been possible without people voting a vote of confidence for Tucson Unified.
This is a result of the voters, and the voters voting for the bond package and the huge vote of confidence that they have in us to keep kids safe and to keep our employees safe. And we want to fulfill the promise that we've made to them. Our board also, in addition to the Centegix Emergency and Crisis Notification Badge, they also took steps at our last meeting to approve of an upgraded security window product that's essentially shatter and almost bulletproof.
Really?
It's a clear sort of plexiglass material that will be placed on all of our windows that face public streets and spaces that are most vulnerable to intruders. And it will make it virtually impossible for an intruder to penetrate this product. I had an opportunity to see a demonstration of the product, and I saw the vendor really take a really strong firearm and fire several rounds into this sort of plexiglass product. And I saw the bullets actually get trapped in the product. They didn't penetrate.
Wow.
So it, and you can take a bat to it. You could take rocks to it. And I think not only is it going to make our campuses more impenetrable, but I think it's also going to discourage a lot of the vandalism that we see at some of our schools.
Wow.
Where people are trying to break into our schools and steal computers and steal equipment. So we're very, very excited about these two bold steps to strengthen safety and security.
Is it a veneer that is put over the existing window, or do they actually replace the window, or how does that work?
It is a veneer that goes over the existing windows.
But it is a very, almost impenetrable.
It is, yeah. And one of the things that we know about Sandy Hook is the point of entry was shattering the office window with a shotgun, which allowed that killer to get through and get into the administrative building. So we're looking at really making our schools more impenetrable and harder to get into.
And before we take the break, what about fencing? Will that be enhanced as well around the properties?
Yeah, fencing is ongoing right now as we speak. We went wrought iron at Sam Hughes Elementary. We're going wrought iron in our schools that are located in places that are struggling a little bit more with criminal activity in the immediate environs. So we're really working with TPD and our school safety division to look at our schools and see where they're located and then put the wrought iron in accordingly.
But you still don't want the property to look like a building up at Florence.
It's hard. You know, I struggle with this in this age that we live in because I've mentioned numerous times publicly that schools weren't built to be closed spaces. They were built to be open spaces,
community centers.
Yeah. And in this age of school shootings and school violence and the targeting of children, we're kind of forced to harden them as targets a little bit more. And it's very sad. It is.
All right, let's pause right here. More with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. He's the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. It's the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. We will be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion regional transportation plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Always makes just such a great getaway. We send so many of our listeners over there to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. So it's a good getaway, about 3-hour drive. Just hit I-10 and basically take a left at the Lordsburg exit, which I think is just about exit number one or two in New Mexico, and then just head up the hill to Silver City. Start your planning by visiting their website, which is southwestnewmexico.org. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo with us now, the second part of our interview with Dr. Trujillo, and he was, if you're just joining us, he was articulating some really state-of-the-art security measures concerning badges for all the employees in the TUSD district, and then some enhancements with hardening, if you will, the schools with some window coverings that are pretty much impenetrable. And now I want to talk a little bit about academic grades. Have the grades come out now from the state?
Yeah, we received our letter grades just before the break, November, around mid-November, and just great news for Tucson Unified School District. This is the first time in the standardized testing area, or the era, that we have actually more A and B rated schools.
Really?
Yeah. When you put them together, we have 53 of our 88 schools are A and B rated.
Boy, that is a huge turnaround.
We have more A and B rated schools than even C rated schools. So our C rated schools are only 26. So we have double the amount of A and B rated schools.
But back in the day, the narrative was this was just a terrible district.
And it was challenged. when our, you know, so right now we've got 79 schools that are A, B, or C rated. We only have 4 D schools in the whole district. When the administration started in 2016, 2017, we had 27 D and F rated schools. So to be down to only 4 and then to flip that narrative and to have 53 A and B rated schools is wonderful. I mean, it's a testament to the work that's going on with our teachers and our staff. And I think what's important is that our community needs to understand that the letter grade is assigned to the school and how well the school educates students, as defined as how well does that school grow student skill levels and proficiency in reading, writing, and math? Mm-hmm. So when you take a student, and that student is at, say, Borton, where I was this morning, mm-hmm. and that student starts the year at fourth grade reading on a kindergarten level, how well does Borton catch that kid up, right? How fast does Borton catch that kid up in a single school year? So Borton's letter grade is determined on whether or not that kid ends the year reading at not the kindergarten level, but maybe the second grade level, the third grade level, or the fourth grade.
Based on progress.
Based on progress, yeah. And so what's set aside from that is actually proficiency. Proficiency is defined as passing the test. Mm-hmm. And that's our next big challenge, is now we're doing great on progress. Our teachers grow kids that are behind in a single school year, and our letter grades reflect that. But now we want to be equal or better than the state with proficiency. And by the way, the proficiency rates in the state aren't anything to write home about. Mm-hmm. I think the average is 43%, mm-hmm. and TUSDs were down in the mid-30s, but we at least want to get to where the state is.
So the schools that are still that are challenged, let's put it that way, and that will require some extra attention, what does that include when you look at those schools that want to better their grade level?
Yeah, we've got four, and we work with ADE. They have a school improvement framework called Project Momentum, where we provide, they provide professional development and training in some of the tenets of school improvement. High quality academic support strategies for students that are falling behind. What does that look like? High quality teaching strategies for students in your classroom. And I think a big part of it is making sure in those schools that those kids that are behind, that we're providing them current year content, especially in reading, writing, and math, while at the same time using in-house academic support interventions to catch them up. And then we also have to make sure that they're being exposed to the assessment, that they've got plenty of opportunities to see what the Arizona Academic Skills Assessment looks like, mimic the conditions of the test, and really start giving them practice assessments so that they can be in the best position possible in April.
Are these schools in economically challenged areas of our valley?
They are, yes, all four of them. So mm-hmm. again, it's not a new phenomenon that poverty and coming from more socioeconomically challenged areas, that presents a challenge. Most of the times we see students coming in, they're off grade level because we're coming from situations where, look, parents have to work. Sometimes parents in these neighborhoods are working two or three jobs. They don't have the luxury of being able to sit home and educate their kids or spend time reading with their kids or have robust in-house libraries.
Not that they wouldn't want to.
Not that they wouldn't
want
to.
They'd love to probably spend more time with the kids, but as you say, they're doing two and sometimes three jobs a day.
There's an economic pressure for them to provide, and that's where Superintendent Horn and ADE, I think that's where the disconnect is that there's not a recognition of the barriers and the challenges and the obstacles that situation can present.
So we are at the halfway point of the school year. When does the classes will end in May? Is that correct?
May, right before Memorial Day. And mm-hmm. so right now it's a stretch run for us, January, February, and March. We have 90 days to get ready for assessment season. Mm-hmm. The state assessments happen in April. So right now you see a lot of intervention work going on. We know who our kids are. We know who our students are that are off grade level. We want to put them in the best possible position to do well on the AASA assessments in math and in English language arts.
Well, it's certainly good news that the grade levels have come up. That's a good news story for Tucson Unified. And I think this security deal is really important, obviously.
Yeah, it's a little bittersweet because we don't want schools to look like restrictive environments and look like detention centers, but it's just a sign of the times, and we would rather have our students and our employees safe. And so unfortunately we're taking these measures very seriously.
Sometimes the aesthetics have to take the back seat
to safety and security.
Thank you very much, Dr. Trujillo, and again I hope it's a wonderful new year for you and your family.
Thank you, Bill. Certainly look forward to the next visit.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition, and I hope everybody has a great afternoon.